I think we got up. No. I think we're on Zion. Yeah, be Zion, take Zion. Page Zion. Right hand column. Page Zion. Zion. The right hand column, the second paragraph from the bottom of the page, on page Zion. The Mishnah. Sukkah Shayna Gavasa Tvachim Sula. The Sukkah doesn't have 10 Tvachim. It's a puzzle. So he says, first of all, the din of 10 tefachim is a din in the walls of a mechitza. Anytime the Torah requires, or the Chacham require a wall or a barrier, they say it's not called a wall or a barrier, a demarcation, unless it's 10 tefachim high. That's a basic rule. Probably goes back to Moshe from Sinai, because it has to do with Rishus HaYachid, how you define a private area in Rishus HaYachid. Three or four walls, so probably Moshe Rabbeinu explained that that is 10 tefachim high. There was a whole issue I just going to mention when I was your age, the mechitza and the shul, since both of you are thinking of rabbi, becoming rabbi, so you should know a little bit about the mechitza and the shul. So, you know, the mechitza and the shul is, from the Gemara mentions that in the Beis HaMikdash, originally the men and women were together in the same area, but then they saw that it was creating one kind of an atmosphere, more of a social atmosphere, so they wanted it to get to more of a religious atmosphere, so they built a balcony for the women. So the women went up on a balcony, the men were down at the bottom. So that's in the Gemara. Now, over the years, shuls were built. So now some shuls have balconies, other shuls didn't have balconies. So they started to build separations in the shul, mechitza. Put the men on one side and women on the other side. So we know that, as we explained to the Rav, that in many, many places, the basic minimal amount of a mechitza is 10 tefachim. A 10 tefachim, tefach is 3 inches, it's about 2.5 feet. So let's say it's the height of the desk, maybe from the floor. So meanwhile, in Europe, so now in Europe, when they made the mechitzas, they would make it much more than 10 tefachim. Because they felt that it has to do with separating the men from the women. So the men and women are sitting parallel with this wall in between them. But they see one another and they're close to one another, so it would still maybe create a social atmosphere. So they used to have, it was a custom in Europe to add on to the wall, they would add curtains so that the curtains would go way up and you couldn't see the women. The curtains of the women couldn't see the men. Now, in America, the reform, they wanted socializing between the men and the women. So they got rid of the mechitza and they made mixed men and women sit together during the service. So the Rav, the Soloveitchik, he was fighting that very much. So he said that that's an issa d'oraisa. It's not just a question of socializing men and women, but it's also copying the church. Because in the church, men and women sit together. And there's a Torah, the Torah says in one place, you should not copy the ritual practices of the goyim. And that's how the Ramban, the Chumash, learns that pasuk. If you see the goyim have a certain way of doing their rituals for their gods, we shouldn't say, oh, it's a nice ritual, let's bring it into Judaism. We're not allowed to copy Goyish rituals. So we said that since the churches have mixed seating, so mixed seating would be a violation of that prohibition of the Torah. That's what the Rav said. That was the reform. So reform he just knocked out. He even said in famous Pesach, in those years, back in the 40s, 50s, he passed that if someone has only a reform synagogue in his area, in Rosh Hashanah, it's so bad to walk into it, he said he should not even go there to hear shofar. There's a guy blowing shofar who knows how to blow. This fellow doesn't, not allowed to go because he said he's violating a nisa device just walking into the place. And you're doing the ritual of listening to the shofar with a mixed crowd, so that would be a prohibition. Okay. However, the conservatives at that time, they came up with a compromise. They got rid of the barrier, but they had separate seating without a barrier. So, a certain way that was trying to follow the spirit of the law, not to have socializing, but not to follow the letter of the law. The law was to have some kind of a barrier, which is Tan Tvachim. Anyway, today the conservatives went down the road of the reform, so it's irrelevant anymore, that whole question. It became like a reform. They have everything mixed today, that's a conservative example. Now, however, among the Orthodox synagogues that we have in America today, so there became a, sort of a split. The yeshiva, the Haredi part of the American Orthodox world, that means the yeshivish crowd, Lakewood, Chaim Berlin, and the Hasidic crowd, they still follow the customs of the Europeans. They don't build a small barrier of Tan Tvachim. They build a barrier, which is either they have a room in a balcony, or they have a barrier with curtains, or bechlal, a large barrier. So the bechlal, the men really don't see the women. So that's very widespread in the Haredi world. Yes?
So, I think this is an important issue. But I think that these days, they've added too much to it. At a certain point, when you add too much, you're almost sinning. Because at a wedding, we dafka want a social setting. We dafka want to make marriages.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And now we're putting a big mechitza between the men and the women. How are you supposed to make a marriage? Where are they supposed to meet if not at a wedding? And okay. They have essentially chaperoned. People are watching.
Yeah, you're a very valid point. That this idea of separation, which is really only supposed to be in a shul, spread at some and certain certainly by the Hasidim and the yeshivish, it spread to weddings, it spread to shiurim, a person gives a shiur. So that is one of the things that the modern Orthodox and the yeshivish will split, so to speak. The modern Orthodox yeshivish will split on the shul, and they also split outside the shul. In the shul, the Rav Paskin, that if you have a mechitza of Tan Tvachim, it's fine. You don't have to worry about the spirit of the law, just the letter of the law. Spirit of the law is good. You don't want socializing in shul. The Rav is very strict in general. No one should talk ever at all in shul, not the men or the women. So certainly not men with women. So he didn't want men socializing in shul. That's why here in YU, the main minyan block, it's very quiet. No one talks. That's all from the Rav. The Rav didn't have anyone to talk from go to the end of any prayer in the tzibur. It could be all men. Anyone ever talking. Kriyas HaTorah, no one talks. He actually felt that was an obligation, a real halacha, not to socialize at all in shul during prayers. But so for him, the mechitza really wasn't there. He didn't really need it so much for the spirit of the law, because anyway there was no socializing going on. So he said you can make a tent fachin. So some of the modern Orthodox shuls, you walk in, you can't even, if you don't look very well, it's hard to find mechitza, because you have, as it is, a lot of times the furniture of the shul, there's a wall, and then the wall has like a little shelf in front of it, and then there's a chair, and then there's a wall, a shelf, and a chair attached. So what they did was that these walls, which have the chairs, are 10 tefachim high. So at some point, if you put the women behind or on the side, you're getting your 10 tefachim. It's hard to see it unless you look for it. But it's there. It's technically definitely there. So the most famous example of that is the Lincoln Square Synagogue. If you ever go take a look at Lincoln Square, you'll see Rabbi Riskin was there for many years. He got the psak from the rabbi. It was originally a conservative shul, so he wanted to make it as comfortable as possible for those original people. They were used to no mechitza, so he made this mechitza tent for him. However, many synagogues, even modern Orthodox, do have curtains and larger mechitzos in order to fulfill the spirit of the law that men and women shouldn't be socializing in the shul. Here in Hawaii, when they built the clock, so they built a balcony. So technically, if you have a balcony, that's the best mechitza in the world, but that's why you're off the ground. So the question was, do you need a curtain up there? Because without a curtain, you would see the women. So they did put in the curtain. Even though women pull the curtain aside and look, it's fine, but no one makes an issue. But there is a curtain there for the spirit of the Lord, not to even see a woman during davening and vice versa. Okay. So now, as far as the mechitza outside the shul, that's not a law, it's not a halacha, that's just a spirit of the law question. Because your culture, your frum culture, want any kind of socializing in these other venues or not. So if you're Hasidish, apparently they don't want any socializing at weddings and so on between the sexes. That's their culture. Doesn't seem to hurt their marriage rate. They get pretty much get married by the age of 20. They have a different system, a different culture, how to get married, how to raise families. So for them, mixing at the wedding is not important. The yeshivish, they're not as strict about it as the chassidim. The modern Orthodox have a lot of mixed seating at weddings. And many times you go to a modern Orthodox wedding, only the rabbis have their own separate table for our rabbis and a separate table for the rabbitsons, but everybody else is mixed. And then the question of singles sitting together at the same table also became an issue because of the shidduch thing. So a lot of times they do that. They will mix the singles at a wedding at a table. I guess once in a while you do get a shidduch coming out of it. Okay, anyway, if we go back to what we're talking about. We're talking about the original din of ten tefachim. So he says at the beginning, v'nireh sh'yeh shnei dinim v'gov v'shel asara tefachim b'sukkah. I want to explain that there are really two ideas, or two dinim, and ten tefachim in a sukkah. Aleph, one idea, it's a din b'mechitzas asukkah. Want to have the right kinds of walls for a sukkah. Sukkah has to have three walls. So each wall has to have its correct minimal size. Din zein u'mukbal l'sukkah. This din is not limited to a sukkah. Gan b'chol ha'Torah kula. Also in other parts of the Torah, b'Shabbos, b'Klayim, b'Kedushas ha'Mikdash, shir gova asara, the measurement to be high 10. T'nai hu, it's a required condition, hechsher hamachitzos, in order to make barriers kosher. Kamosha kasef for Rambam, okay, tazayin v'shabbos lachotetzvav, zel shono, kol machitza she'en begova sarot tefachim, ol yodeh, ain a machitza gemur. Any wall in Shabbos which doesn't have 10 tefachim or more is not considered a full wall. So let's say Rishus HaYochid has to have 3 or 4 walls, each wall has to be at least 10 tefachim. Perek Zayin Meklayim, Lachot Tezvav, you want in the laws of mixtures of, you know, grapes and wheat, you're not supposed to plant them together, Zeh Lashono, Gedeh Shu Gevah Asara Tefachim, Hareza Muta Lita Karen Betzido Makan, Rirakos Betzido Makan. You have a wall which is 10 tefachim high, it's permitted to plant a vineyard on this side and put vegetables, other plants on the other side. The wall separates, even though, I don't know, physically maybe they're very close to one another and not so far apart, and it would be climb otherwise, but you put a barrier there that's considered a demarcation. So there's a vineyard and then there's a vegetable patch, and you can put them both right up to the wall. But that wall has to be 10 tefachim. Okay, base.
So even if it's demarcated, if it's on 10 tefachim, it's not considered separated?
Exactly. So then it would make a prohibition of climb, of mixing grapes and vegetables, or grapes and wheat, if you plant them close together. But if you have a wall there, then it's fine. Okay, now Beis, there's a din, B'diras HaSukkah. There's a din about the dwelling of a sukkah. There's another din, a sukkah has to be a dwelling. I mentioned that quite a few times, it has to be a diva, a place a person can live. And 10 tefachim height is a necessity for the be called a diva. Din zeh miyuchad l'sukkah. This is a special din in sukkah for chalot shem divat sukkah and in the status of the dwelling area of a sukkah, kibbe pachot, ma'asara. If you don't have 10 tefachim space, we call the hasukkah, and the height of the sukkah, yesh psul shel divat sukkah. That would be possible because it's a dwelling which is unfit. It's a disgusting dwelling. Kivra kama. There's a gemara like that. The gemara says like this. Haisa kivra asara tefachim. Let's say yad hamachitz a 10 tefachim high. The walls were 10 tefachim. Utsim yadim l'tochio. But a few twigs go down into the 10. So by the meima, by thought, imchamasim, uba mitzalasim ksheva. If there's only a few twigs, I mean, they don't produce really shade. So those few twigs don't count, and you have 10 tefachim. Rava says, "Adivasuchi." This is a disgusting dwelling. Ain adam da b'divasucha. No one's going to live in a disgusting dwelling. In other words, if you go in there, these twigs could scratch you, could bother you. So even the one twig below 10 tefachim can ruin the area as a dwelling place. So you see there's a new din of 10 tefachim, empty space, completely empty with no twigs, nothing, in order to have a proper diva. So really there are two. So the 10 tefachim and the wall, that's one din. It's another din, 10 tefachim of empty space for a person to squeeze in there and be semi-comfortable.
Now, when we're saying empty space, on that same daf, it talks about the whole idea of like having some sort of like hay or straw or rocks, right, on the floor. That whether or not at a certain, if it's considered to be permanent, like as something that's there or something that's not considered permanent, because you might move that. So, in a case where the person, let's say it's hay that they are not sure, they're planning to move it. They're planning to move it, so therefore it's not considered part of the thing. But right now they have it in their sukkah, and with that combination, it's there's it's 10 to 12 people hanging down. In that case, is that considered still what is considered trufa, or is that?
It's a very interesting question. I think he's only talking about trufa when it's this piece of the twig or a piece of wood hanging down which disturbs the person. But if there's things in there which don't disturb him, that should be fine.
Well, here it's technically, I guess, would be in a sense could be disturbing because it's because of the hay. It's now less than 10 tefachim, but the 10 tefachim is not considered, or it's considered to be empty space in this case.
Right. So I don't know. I'm thinking also about people hanging decorations down from the stach. You have this tiny sukkah, which is 10 tefachim, and the decorations are hanging down. That called it the sukha, that's what monks are dwelling, like that twig. Where you say maybe people like to see the decoration, so the decoration is bumping them in the head, they're fine with it, it's not a problem.
We consider the things hanging down as part of the stuff, or just things just hanging
down. Well, with decorations.
Yeah, these decorations. We wouldn't consider them part of the stuff.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, we have this tiny sukkah. We're supposed to be able to put a table in there, so we don't say that the table is so disturbing into the space. So, you know, I would think that it's a relative flexible, this idea of the diras sucha. It's not that you have to have literally 10 tefachim, 7 by 7 tefachim, that's the measurements of a sukkah, empty space. I think it's relative to the situation. That's what I think, because I can't imagine.
So kind of what we were saying last time in regards to, let's say you have a short person going into the sukkah, and for him, this person, this is considered comfortable. Then we said that in general, that it's for the Klal Yisrael. Why then, in the case of the Malka, Daf Beis Amud Beis, that like we say, oh, by her, with the walls being very tall, or like the walls not reaching the staff, it's because, you know, so the air can go through. And for her, you know, or for the Derech of the Malka, we consider that's okay. Why is it there's a Derech Malka, but like not a Derech, for a short person? That would be considered okay.
You have to read that Gemara, but whenever you go from one din to another din, let's say, you have to really, focus on this question. Are we dealing with something which is universal for everybody, or is it particular for that person in that situation? It's not so clear. It seems that certain things, the Chachamim, or it could be from Moshe Rabbeinu, the cause of the comfort and discomfort consideration, they said, okay, you have to have a certain size, a certain height for everybody, irrespective of you individual, made it a universal din. And sometimes they left it up to the individual to make the call. Like I told you, that the Hasidim had a custom, still have a custom, that it could rain, but they say we're still comfortable. The Gemara says later on that a person who's in the rain can leave because it's dire, it's not considered dwelling in a sukkah. You're just suffering in a sukkah. That's not the mitzvah. Yerushalmi says you don't get a mitzvah at all if you sit there in the rain because it's not normal dwelling. But meanwhile, they're saying that unless it's a hurricane, for us, we're comfortable, and they make the bracha, the Hasidim. So you see that I told you Moshe Feinstein sat in the sukkah in the snow. He said, I'm comfortable in the snow. So it seems that some things, rain, snow, cold, hot, heat, mosquitoes, these things are more individual. Cool and size, like 10 tefachim, 7 tefachim, that became the standard for everybody. And maybe the standard was created for a small person, but then it becomes kosher for a big person, because it becomes standard. Why they made certain things standard and other things not, we don't know. Maybe because it it's easier to standardize sizes because you say, okay, it has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, so you know what it is, 4 amos by 4 amos, or 10 tefachim. Make it a standard for everybody. You say, if you get that standard, it's comfortable. If you're below that, it's not comfortable. And other things, it's hard to measure. How many mosquitoes are not comfortable? How much rain is not comfortable? How cold? So it's hard to measure. Therefore, they said, let's leave it up to the individual to make that determination. Yeah.
Is there an inyan of Achnasas Arachim? So, even if you are comfortable with the minimal size sukkah, should you be allowed to do so? Because there's an inyan of Achnasas Arachim, so it's being affected by an ancillary mitzvah. So you should make one for the size of at least the average person, but maybe you shouldn't rely on the minimal nature of the halacha.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Then I have guests and make it comfortable for everybody. The discussion here is just really one person, minimal size. Basically, you know, it turned out, I always thought, who's going to sit in such a tiny sukkah? When I learned this, I always thought it's a theoretical discussion, but who's going to live in it? But nowadays, you can buy a portable sukkah, which is like a telephone, a little bit of, which is very much like what they're talking about. It just folds up, and you put it in your car, you drive someplace, get out, and unfold it, and one person can sit down inside and eat. So, Taka nowadays do have situations of basically size sukkahs. So that's why it became practical, this discussion. Okay, so now he continues. He says, "Uvachach yisyashev shinui." This can answer a certain difference. Sheba Mishnah Erevin, the Mishnah saying Ukan, between the Mishnah and Erevin, the Mishnah here by Sukkah. Okay, in Mishnah and Erevin, they're talking about, when you have a three-sided alley, you have to put something on the fourth side to make it a Shusa Yachid. So you have to put a beam, let's say a cross, or a pole at the entrance. Okay, so the Mishnah Shalanu and our Mishnah here by Sukkah, Nikva Hadin. First of all, in our Mishnah there's a din, Shegova Asara Makeves. Behechsha sukkah, that you have to have 10 tefachim, and that's necessary to make the sukkah kosher. Miyad, and that's brought down immediately. Achrei shuva machloket ben Tanakam of Rebbe Yehuda b'shir esrim the sukkah. After they bring the machloket Tanakam of Rebbe Yehuda about 20 amos in the sukkah, then they go into the 10 tefachim requirement. So that's our Mishnah. Umatzot, in contrast, the Reish Masechet Erev in the Mishnah Rishon Hashem is talking about how you put up a beam in front of an alleyway on Shabbos. Huva ha-machloket, it first brings a machloket ben Tanakam Rebbe Yehuda ben Ogeh l'shir esu. That they have a similar machloket Rebbe Tanakam Rebbe Yehuda about the 20 behechsha ha-mavet b'Shabbos, when you want to make a kosher alley on Shabbos. For Mishnah, eina maskira sheyesh tzorach b'shir asara b'gova ha-mavui. The Mishnah there doesn't mention that you have to have at least a 10 tefach wall in that alley. Certainly you need that. So there's like a glaring omission. In our Mishnah, it talks about two sizes, a maximum size and a minimal size. There's the maximum size of the sukkah is 20 amos. The minimal size of a sukkah is 10 tefach. That's our Mishnah. In Erevin, says the maximum size of an alley in terms of the walls and putting up the beam cannot be above 20 amos. That's a maximum. It never mentioned that there's a minimal requirement of 10 tefachim. So why didn't the Mishnah over there discuss the 10 tefachim? So he says, Yeshlomo, so we could give it an answer. Shemishnah Be'erven Hishmita left out Din Shir Asara Begova Hamavli, the Din of 10. That's a requirement for barriers all over the Torah. You're not a special requirement an alley. Hola kvahu vababim makomod. Since you go through the Mishnah, you see many places it's brought. Shegov asar tvachim, ushia b'chalot shem machitza b'chalot Torah kula. That you need 10 tvachim to make a barrier b'chalot Torah kula. Ishmita, Mishnah sham b'erevin din zeh. That's why the Mishnah Erevin left out the din of 10. 10 is a simple din in terms of barriers. It doesn't have to mention it every single place. Ram, Sukkah, but here in Sukkah, Gover Yud Mahava Gam Din Meyuchad Machalat Shem Diyur Besukkah Vechsheira. The requirement of 10 is also a special din in the dwelling place of the Sukkah. If you got Chavia Mishnah, then Sachet Sukkah. Therefore, the Mishnah mentioned Sachet Sukkah. Okay, he says later on he discusses it much more. This double requirement: 10 tefachim in the world and 10 tefachim in the space that you're living in. Yes.
So, I think they quoted in Sukkah in the first daf. So the commentaries, this, I don't know if it's the commentaries or if it's in the pshat, but you say, then you know, with one being midrashim and one being midrabana.
Right.
So, we need 10 for a mechitza.
That's a device.
But
no, they're talking about the 20.
The 20.
They're saying the 20 by the sukkah is the raisa, and the 20 by the beam, of course, is the rabbana.
Right. Because we can't make an adjustment of a built sukkah. Because you built
right.
It wrong, it's wrong.
It's a device.
But you could always adjust.
Because that's a rabbana.
In an alleyway. So maybe that's also why they didn't bring it up.
No, but the 10 tefachim, they should have... You can adjust it, but just that the Mishnah prefers not to talk about fixing the derisa, but like, not exactly why, I'm not exactly sure why. That's what the Gemara says. It says, since this here is from the Torah, which I want to say is stronger language, possible. There, it's the Rabbanan, so it gives you the solution. Make it lower it. You could lower the sukkah too. You could rebuild it and lower the schach.
So you're saying, we're talking here, they did not mention the minimum of
right,
10.
Of 10 by the alleyway. Because the 10, he says, is an obvious thing. But walls and sukkah. But by sukkah, there's another part of the 10 in the dwelling place, so that should be mentioned.
Can you, if the walls aren't 10, but you dig deeper, is that kosher, or the walls are
yeah,
not considered?
Yeah, that's the next thing that he discusses about digging a ditch to add. You could. I see you can, under certain conditions you can.
Because the roof is 10 tefachim from the
right.
ground?
Once you dig, then you have 10 tefachim. You know, you take the wall of the dig plus the wall of the side of the machitza. Yeah.
So are we saying that by sukkah, you wouldn't have a halamina to, or I guess the reason why it's some saying 10 fucking tall, it's not about the fano, it's talking about the makom to live in.
Right. That's
so,
what you're saying.
Okay, fine. So again, as that's our case with if he digs a hole, as long as the fano necessarily aren't 10 fucking, but the height, I guess.
Okay, but he did say that the sukkah he feels has to have the 10 in the wall too. He said he thinks that sukkah has a double requirement of 10 in the wall and in the dwelling. Erevin is just the wall.
Gotcha.
Okay, good. Okay, now he's going to go much more into this question of the wall. Next one. Sukkah shein negvah asar tefachim psula. Sukkah has to have 10 tefachim. Kvar manu, we've said earlier, Shashir Asara Udin Bimachitza Sasukkah. You need 10 to build the barrier of the Sukkah. Pachot Ma'asarat Tvachim Ein Mechitza Sasukkah Ksherot. If it's less than 10, the walls of the Sukkah are not kosher. Gam B'Shabbat B'Kviyat Chalot Hashem Shal Rishu Sayach in order to set up a private domain. Ma'akav Gov Asara B'Mechitzot. You have to have a height of 10 tefachim in the barriers. Okay, as we said earlier, barriers always need 10, so we have to have 10 in terms of the wall of a sukkah, and you need 10 in the walls of a private domain, Shusayachid on Shabbos. Afro-Picane, even though it seems that we're dealing with the single concept of 10, I want to say that really it's two separate dinim. Raya lechach. Here's the raya. Hodis makaman daftarim et beis. The Gemara Iran and daftarim beis says like this. If you have a sukkah where the wall is less than 10 tefachim high, so at that point this is possible. Chakik ba kadeh lashim lasa. And then he digs a ditch, like Daniel said. And that ditch will add, let's say the wall is 7, and he makes a ditch of 3. So the wall is 8, and a ditch of 2, he gets 10. Then it says like this. And he's going to sit inside the ditch. So for him, it's going to be 10 tefachim to get up to the schach. Sounds good. So he says like this. Yesh misvas chakak. If you look at the edge of that ditch, Svas chakak, the edge of the ditch, v'lakot to the wall, gimel tefachim, if there's 3 tefachim space, psula, it's possible. Pachot m'shlosha tefachim k'sheira, if it's less than 3 tefachim, it's k'sheira. In other words, you've got to dig that that ditch very close to the wall. It has to be within 3 tefachim of the wall.
So at 3 it's puzzle, but before
yeah,
3 it's,
right.
It's fine.
So if this is less than 3, it's going to be good. But if it's going to be more than 3, it's going to be puzzle. If this space is less than 3, the 8 and the 2 add up. Who can sit here? But if it's more than 3, you can't sit there. Because 8 and the 2 don't combine. So it's this small gap, less than 3 tefachim, which combines them. Okay, now less than 3 tefachim has a halachic term. It's called Lavud. Lavud literally means, I believe it means attached. So two pieces are less than 3 tefachim apart, less than 9 inches apart, you can consider that halacha like a single piece. That's a general rule in many places. So that rule applies here, that if you want to attach the 8 with the 2, make sure there's a less than 3 tefachim space. More than 3 tefachim, they won't combine. You're not going to get 10 if you're sitting inside the ditch. You have 2 and 8 someplace else. But the 8 and 2 don't become 10 unless it's less than 3 apart. 3 tefachim apart is lavud. If they're attached with that halachic mechanism called lavud.
So are we saying that the person builds like a wooden structure, 8 almost, from the ground up? And then
8 tefachim.
And then the 8 or the other 2 are with it, if they're still within the 3
tefachim,
and it, let's just say it's dirt, is that going to be considered a dofen at that point?
Yeah, 8 plus 2.
So just it's any material. It doesn't have to be the same material.
Right, that the Mishnah says later on that there's no requirement in the walls of any kind of material. You can make it from anything you want.
No, I'm saying by this combining mechanism works for different materials.
Yeah, right. That's what it says. The Gemara says, continue the quote. Let's read that again. Kamen Dav Dav Beizel Shono. On page 9, right hand column, is the last paragraph. Haita Pchuta Miyut Tefachim. If it was less than 10 Tefachim, let's say 8. Chakak Bah, he dug a little ditch. Deilash Limah Lasarat, to fill up the 10. Yesh Misvat. Chakak or the kotel. Gimel tefachim psulah. From that ditch till the wall is 3 tefachim pasul. Pachot m'shlosha tefachim k'sheva. If it's less than 3, it's kosher. And the Gemara says, hachal l'shui l'dofen, you're trying to create a wall. Pachot m'shlosha tefachim im. If it's less than 3 tefachim separation of the 8 and the 2, it works. Yilo lo, if it's too much, it doesn't work. That's how the Gemara explains this rule. Okay? Okay, so the Rav continues here in the last few words on the right-hand column. Page Zion, he says, Ma Gemara Yotzei, we see clearly from the Gemara, Shein Letzareif, you can't integrate or add, Gova Asara B'mchitzot HaSukah, to get to 10 in the walls of a Sukah, Ela Kishakol HaSheur Mitzareif, if all the pieces of that measurement, 10, get integrated, V'pachot M'shloshet Tvachim, through separations less than 3 tvachim. Kloma shahamerchak. In other words, at the distance bein shnei chelka mechitzot, between the two pieces of the mechitza, hu pachot mishlosha tvachim, is less than 3 tvachim. Kva tamu al kach betosvot. Avdala devamach sol pachot. Tosvot is over there, a little bit down the road, and Masech Lesukah, Avdala asks a question. And Toma, I'll ask you a question. Repair karma de Shabbos. Shabbos Dav Zayin, Gaba Bayit, you have a house. She'ein Tocho Asara, it doesn't have a wall of 10. He did the same thing. Chakak Bo Lashlim Ol Asara, he dug a ditch inside the house to make a 10. And it says that inside the ditch is a Rishus HaYachid, it's called a private domain, because you have 8 and 2, and you're in the ditch, so you're sitting inside a private domain at Shabbos. And there the Gemara never said that you have to have the two pieces within 3 tvachim, within lavud. It seems you could have 8, literally 10 feet away, make a little ditch of 2. It'll work in Shabbos to make that inner area. So that's a big problem, as you said. Why in Sukkah are we so, you know, concerned about that lovewood connection? Shabbos, it seems from the Gemara, that 8, when you have 2, it's more than 3. This is Rishus HaYachid. Even though it's a very big gap between the 8 and the 2, it makes this spot here 8 plus 2, 10. That's his question. Tosfos said it seems to be a contradiction between, in the Gemara Sukkah, the Gemara emphasizes the love of the connection, and in Shabbos, to make that war for Rishus HaYachid, it doesn't mention it at all. Tosfos wants to know, is there really such a difference? And if there is, what's the reason for it? So he says, yes, there is a difference. He writes like this in the second column on page Zion, end of the first paragraph. Yeshloma, we can say, Tosfos says in Sechta Shabbos. I mean, here in Sukkah, the Lo Domi Rishus Shabbos, Shehilim Noa Regel Rabim LeSukkah to be a Mechitzo Smuchos LeSchach. You shouldn't compare the area of Shabbos. That's to prevent people from walking, and the Sukkah there. I need a Mechitzo next to the schach. Okay, so basically what he's saying is that what's a Rishus HaYachid? It's not a Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, people walk. So 8 and 2, somehow, I can say that this span here is separated from the area where people are walking, because it's 8 and 2. Here I've got to somehow get 8 plus 2 with a schach. The schach, you have to make it less than 3. It's a little vague. What exactly is he saying that the difference between Sukkah and Shabbos? Yes.
It's a matter of the shadow, because the whole idea was you need this amount of distance to create the shadow. So by over here, maybe the shadow is not really there, because you have a stretch of land that prevents the full shadow.
Oh. Maybe it doesn't say. Rob doesn't say that, but you know, maybe it's an idea. Yeah.
Sorry, I guess we say by Shabbat the whole reason for the mechitza is really to prevent people from breaking Shabbos. Whereas by the sukkah, the whole point of the mechitza is to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, to have a kosher sukkah. So that's why by Shabbat we're not so, I guess, concerned. It's not such a big issue, the Shabbat doesn't mention it, and by sukkah, since that's like the ikker, we end up having just a sukkah, so you can therefore sin in one, that we have to mention it.
I don't know, again, it's a little vague. I mean, the words of Tosfos are vague. Maybe, you know, you have an idea when I say sukkah, it's a mitzvah, so you want to be sort of more strict about how you get that 10 tefach mitzvah if it's very close together. But Shabbos is not a mitzvah, it's a question of just is it public area, private area, so therefore the private area is set up by 8 plus 2, even though it's a big distance, because not be dealing with a mitzvah, that's what you're saying. Maybe, again, you know, we spoke about shade. The Rav has a different way of explaining it. Okay, let's see what he says. He has a very interesting idea. Left-hand column, second paragraph. He says like this, "Bebiya devayim," you know, we'll explain what Tosfos says, "Nivali, sha Tosfos machadshim." Tosfos is introducing a new idea. "Shakayim chiluk," there's a bit difference, "bein mechitzas Shabbos, bein mechitzas sukkah," between the barriers or walls of Shabbos and the barriers and walls of a sukkah. Mechitzas of Shabbos, when you deal with the walls of Shabbos, ain't so shetir chefzah shel mechitza achat. There's no requirement for a single barrier. Gam b'habei mechitzot ktanot. We have a lot of small barriers, like 8 and then 2. Hachokot zumezu, which are distant from one another. Nasa hamakom hamukaf. Mibifnim mishus hayochid. That inner space, which is now surrounded by these small barriers which add up to 10, is called Meshus HaYochid. Dino Asor B'Mechitzas HaShabbos, the 10 of the Mechitzas HaShabbos, and then within the Chefetzah Shel HaMechitzos. It's not a requirement in the actual wall. Ela B'Chefetzah Shel HaMakom HaMukap HaMechitzos. It's a requirement in the space surrounded by the wall. Okay, he has a very interesting, a very fine, interesting question. When you say that something has to be, I mean, there's a wall, and on both sides of the wall there's a space. So let's say by sukkah it's the inner space of the sukkah, by Shabbos it's the inner space of the private domain. So when you speak about the wall, defines this as a, inside of a sukkah. The wall defines this as an inside of a Reshus HaYochid. Are you focusing on the wall or are you focusing on the space? You say, hey, you have to have 10 tefachim. Does that mean I have to have 10 tefachim of a single wall, or to have 10 tefachim of a space surrounded by wall or walls? So he wants to say that's the difference. In sukkah, you need a single wall. That's how you build a sukkah. You have a single wall with schach, three walls on each side. But each wall is a real wall. It's a single entity. So to make it a single entity, you need the pieces, the 8 and the 2, to be very close, and they integrate into a single entity through this love, through this attachment, halachic process of less than 3, you say it's one thing. So they consider it to be attached. So by sukkah, I need a single attached one wall. So I need those 10 to be integrable into one. But Shabbos, he says, that's his big chiddush here. That Shabbos, there's no requirement for single wall. What is required is that the space have a demarcation, the space of 10 be demarcated as a private area. So if you have 8 someplace out there and 2 over here, and you're on the other side, so for you, when you're in the ditch, you look out, you see 2, and you see another 8, wherever it is. So as far as you're concerned, your space is demarcated or defined as a space of 10, which is separated from the street through barriers of 10. It doesn't have to be a single barrier. As long as your area is separated, your area of 10 is separated. So you have 2 and 8, so you have an area of 10, which is separated. Even though it's not a single mechitza, it works. Yes?
So, but then you have the malka then, where there's no stringency upon contiguous walls to ceilings, she can have a ditch. because
so right, so the ditch, you're going to use the ditch as part of the wall and
right.
put them together. So by Sukkot, you're going to have to make sure that they're very close and get that single wall. But on Shabbos, you wouldn't need that. You can have it completely separated as long as your area is 10 tefachim, which has a series of walls which add up to 10. So we can say your area, he uses the word in Hebrew, mukaf, your area is surrounded by 10 tefachim. Your area of 10 tefachim is surrounded by mechitzos. So you're focusing on the inside area in Shabbos, and that's, and the walls are more helping that inside area get its status, but in Sukkah, you want a real single wall.
So what I mean is, by the Malka, the one allowed her to have a case where it's not contiguous. This is the wall to the ceiling. So what I'm saying is, perhaps then, she doesn't have the special Isra of the Levud being as small as possible.
Oh, okay.
Because
true, yeah,
the whole basis is on,
but
is
don't
on
forget,
the contiguous
that's again
nature.
Talking about the 20 amos going up, and that may not be the same as 10 tefachim. So he's talking about the 10 tefachim requirement, and you're at the mouth of it about the 20 amos.
So she had height, but it was contiguous.
Yeah.
But there was no space in between the wall and the ceiling by her case?
It was a single wall, but then there was a space between the wall and the schach. So that's also... walls are extended in theory. Once
right.
you have the 10, the Gemara on Shabbos says you can... There's a different din called Gudasik. We extend the wall up theoretically. So that was the case over there with the Malka. And that's the discussion.
But
that's a different... It's not the Lovewood
but
attachment.
She still, but there were, it still wasn't contiguous.
Okay.
So I think that's an important point.
That's a good
because
point.
Because Levud is a matter of also of a contiguous nature.
Right. That's
so
true.
if we identify the Indian, if we identify it as contiguousness, which we're, what's what we're
right.
looking for, by her there was no contiguousness.
Right.
So therefore, even if her Levud, even if it's not attached, even
okay.
if it's over three, then perhaps then we can say there's a chiddush. Even her,
but
well,
the
queen
should we'll read the Gemara. The
yeah.
Gemara says, okay. Yeah, but you have a good, valid point to think about over there. Right. Yeah.
When we discuss Shabbat, do we say that there's a minimum amount of mechitzo surrounding to be considered like an enclosure?
No. Just have that. You can have 10 mechitzo. Each one will be one tefach. As long as you get in your enclosed area, you have 10 tefachim of space, which is enclosed.
So I'm saying like, is there a minimum for... like enclosure, do you need to consider like you just have one wall?
No, you need four. You need three or four walls, three or four sides, and you'd have in Shabbos. You need space 4x4, 4x4 amos to make it a rishus hayachid.
So, if you had three walls, would you say that would be like the minimum
yes.
walls?
Yeah.
So you could perhaps say that this whole discussion here is similar to what we were saying before about why by the Mishnah and Eruvim didn't discuss the minimum of 10 tefachim. And by Sukkah, that there is that by Sukkah, like it's what it's saying, it can't be less than 10 tefachim the space here. But also, what it says in the Mishnah regard in Sukkah about the Shlosh Defanot, it's specific this kind of Defanot that it has to be within 3 tefachim. Like that's
yeah.
the Kiddush of that.
Because
in general, you would say, oh, three walls, you know, that's Pashim. Why do I need to say that for any some sort of enclosure? Ah, it must be that it be this special kind of wall.
Very good. That's a good point. Very good. It's a very, very important idea developed here. Okay, we continue in that second paragraph. So he says, Meidach, on the other hand, in the sukkah, Huchsha haschach, the schach becomes kosher, rak al yedei mechitza. You have a wall, sheesh bo shir asara, that has the size of 10. But etzen, Hachefza shel hamachitz, and that very item, which is the machitz itself, in the wall itself, you need that 10. Sukkah lo nema shir or asara hakev hamakom. Sukkah, we're not dealing with 10 in the area which is surrounded or whatever is the word you used, enclosed. We're not dealing with how much of the area is enclosed. We're dealing with the actual wall itself. These series of small barriers which are distant from one another cannot be combined to create 10. Only when they're close. Toch shir lavud, within this special size called lavud, means less than 3 tvachim. Mitkayem, then you establish cheftza, an item, a unit, shel mechitza achat, one wall, govayud, which itself is 10 high, and then vahaschach, then the schach becomes kosher. Yotze mezeh, the conclusion of this discussion is the Shani Shia Gova Hasara B'Shabbos Mibesukah, the rule of measuring the height of 10 in Shabbos is different than the rule in a sukkah. The Shabbos Nema Hashir Le'inyan Hekef Mok. Shabbos, that measurement is dealing with the enclosed space. How much enclosed space? 10 tvach. But in a sukkah, a shear, the measurement of 10, nema bechefta shalom achitza, is in the very wall itself. Okay, it's a tremendous idea, very, very important idea.
You see that also by Ashtro Karnai, that like the whole thing of the sukkah skaf is that it's dependent also on the wall. The wall's there as well.
I'm going to show you something in the footnotes. He's gonna go off and show you other dinim which based on this. But we'll turn the page to page Ches and look at footnote number 6. We all had a long discussion, you know, developing this idea, but just look at this number 6. Page Ches, footnote 6. Ein Yusefer Chazon Yecheskel, there's a book called Chazon Yecheskel, the Shabbos, and maybe I tell you so, Chalagrach, it brings out this idea from Reb Chaim. Actually, this idea comes from the Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim. I want you to see the last sentence. P. Moriv Rabbi from my teacher, Posek Hador, the Posek of the generation, Agon Reb Moshe Feinstein, Gam Ken Shemat, I also heard, Shesuka, Sukuko Lachalotin Dofen. Sukka needs something which is a Dofen, a wall. Shein Ken B'Shabbos, not Shabbos. The Moshe Feinstein is a little different language. The Rav used the language, are we dealing with the enclosed space or are you dealing with the wall? Shabbos is enclosed space and the Sukkah is a wall. The Moshe Feinstein said the Mishnah, they like to use in Sukkah different terms. If you look in the Sefer Shabbos, it's always called Mechitza. And in Sukkah, it's called the Dofen.
So there's a difference.
Shalosh defanos, right? Dofen is an everyday word for a wall. Machitz is more of an abstract word.
So I just mean separation.
Separate, something separates. So that's why in the real wall called the Dofen, you have to actually get that reality much more than just an abstract kind of thing which separates. Or it closes an area. So the Moshe Feinstein said the same idea, but I think had a very nice diuk in the Lashon of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, that the word Dofen is used over and over again in Sukkah, but never in Shabbos. Shabbos just says Mechitza. Mechitza Mishus HaYachid. Never says a Dofen. And Dofen is a real wall, so measurements and other things, you have to look at the wall itself by Sukkah, but not in Shabbos. Shabbos, you look at the space.
Yeah, and the only time in Shabbos it does talk about walls is that, like, it uses kotel, like if it throws something and it sticks on them.
A lot of times they don't use the word kotel.
They don't use dofen.
But they never use dofen. Kotel is just describing
it's just
a case. There happens to be a kotel in the street, and you want to use that as a wall. But the real halachic term is always mechitza.
What's the operating term behind kotel?
No, kotel just happens to mass. Sometimes, once in a while, there's a case of a wall. Something happens with the wall, and you want to know, that's a creator, should say yachid. So once in a while, the Gemara gives you some example, and it's just the case of a kotel. But any time, almost all the time, and it uses halachic terminology, it uses mechitza, which is a legal boundary.
So why don't they say dofen instead of a
kotel? Dofen means a real wall, but the point of Moshe Feinstein is that real walls are only in the sukkah.
Rather, what did they say?
Rather than
kotel,
separations. Separations are not necessarily real, but more symbolic separations, which the Rav is going to go into very soon, that there are certain chitzos which are symbolic rather than real. For example, let's say, Mar says if you make an artificial doorway called Zurata Pesach, you put a pole, put a beam across, so it's like an artificial make-believe entrance. Mar says for Shabbos, that could be called a wall or a separating. It's a separation structure because you're sort of going from outside inside through this Tzurat HaPetach, something which is shaped like an entrance. It's not a real wall, but the Gemara says in Sukkah you can't do that. You have to have something real. So that's the same story because the Rav called it, you need a Cheftza of a Mechitza, something which is a real identity. And the Moshe Fein said you need a Dofen, you need a wall, not a separating structure.
So is there a difference between kotel and dofen?
Yeah, kotel, just an everyday word.
It's not like halachic.
It's not a halachic word, just talking about a story. There's a story with a kotel.
So there's no necessary, there's no minimal or maximal measure to a kotel?
No, but
it's not halachic term.
Usually, when the Gemara brings it up, it's talking about a kotel, which is going to have 10 tefachim, but... The kotel is not a halachic term. Dofen is, and mechitza is. Moshe Feinstein was medayik the word dofen very nicely because in the Sachta Sukkah that's what's used. We don't use the word mechitza so much in Sukkah. Not really talking about separating barriers. You talk about a wall for the house. So. It's a different concept. Sometimes we use the word mechitza, but we don't mean it in the same way. It's a beautiful idea. I mean, it's one of the very, very exciting idea because it really opens up a whole... we'll go through it. We'll continue with this tomorrow or the next day, but very, very important idea. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick it up for tomorrow. This is the first year on Yeshima. You want it?